One of the great characters of journalism died yesterday after an enviable life. Luis Martin was 90 years old, a photographer and writer for National Geographic for more than six decades. NPR's Alex Chadwick knew Luis Martin through the Radio Expedition series co-produced by NPR News and the National Geographic.
There were adventure journalists before him, and on any newsstand today you can see there are plenty more now. But for experience and interests, perhaps no one ever matched Luis Martin, and it's unlikely anyone ever will again. Things have just changed too much since he started.
Everybody's dressing alike, talking alike, thinking alike, really. And all except for the physical background, the world's getting to look the same everywhere.
That's Luis in an interview several years ago, musing on his beginnings back in the 1930s in Central America. Then he was pioneering the use of 35mm color photography for the Geographic, exploring ancient Mayan sites in Guatemala.
So we had to travel by muleback or on foot. You were completely on your own and in an alien culture. And that, of course, was the function of Geographic, to present this stuff in an age of innocence when people hadn't seen much other than the privileged few who could afford to travel themselves.
A young man from the Boston area with nerve and ambition, his fluency in Spanish helped get him his first assignment in Latin America. But it was his skill as a photographer, combined with his keen interest in new technologies, that made his reputation. After World War II, he teamed with Jacques Cousteau to develop underwater photography. The two spent months on board Cousteau's research vessel, the Calypso, learning to overcome the filtering effects of depth of water on sunlight. Everything below 15 feet looked the same shade of blue-green. Their techniques led to Cousteau's 1953 Oscar-winning film, The Silent World. It turned the French inventor of the Aqualung into a world media star and became a series of Luis Martin articles about life on the Calypso. Still, it was another ship that produced his most famous story.
I went down to the bottom, and I landed on the bottom, turned around, and I saw a crescent. And it was a rowlock, an oarlock. It had the broad arrow on it from the Royal Navy.
He was scuba diving in the South Pacific in a bay off Pitcairn Island, the refuge of the men who'd carried out one of the most desperate acts in nautical history, the mutiny on the British naval ship Bounty. The mutineers burned the ship and sank her, and she was lost for nearly 200 years until Luis Martin set out to find her in 1957 and did. Luis followed the early space program so ardently that he was assigned to NASA for a while, photographing early launches. A diver and a sailor, he also was an active pilot himself. He owned and flew ultralight aircraft into his 80s. Luis Martin wore a dapper mustache and kept himself in good shape. He lived in a house on the Potomac River that he talked Frank Lloyd Wright into designing for him decades ago. He had a long marriage. His wife Ethel ventured with him sometimes. She helped him replot what he claimed was the true route of Columbus's first voyage to the New World, that in a controversial article that Luis co-authored with an editor, Joseph Judge. "The only thing I'm going to miss," Luis Martin once told me, "is the cameras and computers they'll come out with in the next 20 years." He went places, he took pictures, he got the story, and he loved it all. This is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.